Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the third quarter 2009 Maciza earnings conference call. My name is Noelia, and I'll be your coordinator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. We will be facilitating a question-and-answer session towards the end of this conference. If at any time during the call you require audio assistance, please press star followed by zero, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would now like to turn the presentation over to your host for today's conference, Mr. Eugenio Ortega, Maciza CFO. Please proceed.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Maciza's earnings call for the third quarter 2009. Our presentation today will be divided in four sections. First is going to be a description of the most important events occurred in the third quarter of the year. Second section will cover an overview of markets evolution on the four major countries where we have operations. The third section is an update on the execution of Maciza's corporate strategy, business strategy. The fourth section is a brief description of the third quarter financial results, some comments on an update on the financial condition of the company. Regarding the important events of the quarter, we are proud to communicate that in the third quarter of this year, we were able to exceed last year's third quarter EBITDA, which is a key element in considering that last year, the third quarter was prior to the crisis that started evolving in September. It was a particularly reasonable, stable quarter in a year with good results until that specific quarter. In the third quarter of this year, we were able to exceed EBITDA by $2.9 million, meaning over 6% increase. In addition, there was a significant improvement in the EBITDA margin compared to prior year, as well as operating margins. In this case, EBITDA margin reached 22.4%, which is once again, despite the fact that there was a significant reduction in volumes sold in different markets, we were able to manage costs and expenses so that EBITDA increased year-on-year. Sales, in general, continued to recover gradually in the different markets, rising by 6% compared to the second quarter of the year, with recovery in the main domestic markets that I'll describe later. We were able to achieve a significant operating efficiency improvements. First, as a result of the discontinuation of certain low-performing businesses. Most importantly for this quarter is the finger joint moldings area that we discontinued in Chile and sold our assets in Brazil. Also, due to lower production costs in more efficient modern plants that are still operating in substitution of less efficient older plants, which are presently temporarily stopped to adjust our capacity to market demand in the different geographies. In addition to that, we are taking full advantage, since a couple of quarters ago, of lower operating costs associated with the price decreases of our main raw materials, namely resins, wood, and energy. On the part of sales and administrative expenses, they were down by 22% compared to the third quarter of 2008, as a result of significant corporate restructuring that happened in the last quarter of 2008, and also very strict expense-saving efforts that have been carried on during the year. The second point I wanted to highlight is in the non-operating front. Results were affected by some restructuring costs incurred in Chile. Those are one-off restructuring costs incurred in Chile associated with adjusting our capacity to market demand. Second element there is as a result of our operations in Venezuela not having access to the formal exchange market through the CADIVI framework. Our operations in Macisa, Venezuela have had to access other financial markets to service and pay for external suppliers, and that is generating some losses compared to prior years. And also certain costs associated with plants that are non-operating are reclassified to non-operating results. Moving on to page number three, we recently communicated the entering into a strategic alliance for forestry investments with one of the largest TIMOs in the world, that is Hancock Timber. We entered into this strategic alliance first with a joint investment effort in Brazil that's aimed at acquiring 40,000 hectares of land for forestry plantation in future years. This is in line with our strategic driver of securing long-term fiber access for our plants at competitive costs in the long term. Fourth, Macisa was able to maintain a solid liquidity profile, closing the quarter with $149 million in cash resources available to service debt or undertake investment opportunities if needed. Those resources are mainly oriented at producing, maintaining sufficient resources to service debt maturities on time and coming due in years 2010 and part of 2011. Those resources are sufficient to cover refinancing needs until the first quarter of 2011. Cash to short-term debt ratio improved by September and reached a record of 1.82x short-term needs. The fifth element we wanted to highlight is that we recently, a few days ago, received environmental approval for our recently announced MDP project in Cabrero. We're now proceeding to the phase of awarding the contracts for the machinery, which will begin the investment process beginning in January of next year. This is on schedule, and it's a good progress in our process for building up this project. I would like to remind participants that this is actually a project that's a reconversion of an existing plant in Cabrero. It's the older MDF plant, still rather new, but it's an older than the new project that it was inaugurated at the end of 2007. And this is a plant that will be reconverted to MDP with a projected capacity of 280,000 cubic meters per annum. The investment of this project implies a total amount of $55 million starting in the first quarter of 2010 and ending in the second quarter of 2011. Moving on to the second section, that's an overview of market evolution under page four, and now moving on to page five. We have been following and presenting certain indexes that we follow as lead indicators of demand that is expected to come in future months. Many of these indicators anticipate between 3-4 months the demand that we observe in the market for our boards. Now moving on to specific markets, starting with Argentina, we follow an index that's called Construya Index that follows the activity of the main construction companies in Argentina. As seen in the graph, it reached bottom in the first quarter of the year, still rather below, significantly below levels prior to the crisis, 18.5. However, our sales decrease with respect to the third quarter of 2008 is only 11% in terms of volumes. We see that there's been a slight recovery in the real estate business, and we have an outlook, a market outlook view that there's going to be moderate growth continued in Argentina. In the case of Brazil, we follow some indexes, one of which is cement dispatch, which have grown significantly since they reached the bottom in the first quarter of the year, and have almost recovered all the volumes that were lost in the crisis. There's a rather positive trend in new home sales, most of which has been fostered by government plans that have impacted all of the real estate business and construction processes. In general, Brazil is performing rather well, and we have a very positive view with a higher volume growth that we expect that may even reach double-digit numbers in the next couple of years in terms of growth rates. Having said all of the above, sales decreased with respect to the third quarter of the last year are still 7%, but rapidly recovering. Moving on to page number 6, in Chile, we are observing very rapid recovery of home sales that we follow. That's an index that we follow in Chile, which shows that there's been a significant recovery of new home sales. However, most of these new home sales are going against inventories. And we expect that, and we're seeing that construction processes are beginning for new projects, and therefore we see that over the next 6 months or so, there's going to be some recovery of demand in this market. In addition to that, projected initial recovery of the MDF moldings market in the U.S. in 2010 will probably help the local MDF production, which was has historically been partly dedicated, an important part dedicated to the U.S. The woodboard market outlook in general in Chile is positive. Now that there is going to be a significant recovery from the reduction that we've observed. This has been one of the markets that has been mostly affected by the crisis, with a 29% volume reduction compared to the third quarter of 2008. Some of this has been derived from lower exports to other markets. Most of this lower volume is explained by the lag that exists between the construction, purchase, and furnishing of new houses that we expect will boost next year. In the case of Venezuela, there are only a couple of indexes we follow. The main one we follow is construction GDP. As seen in the graph, the conditions compared to last year, although we're down in March, are up again. There's some delay in getting the updated figures, but the June figures show that there's been a recovery in the market. So we have the view we have on the market is that it's going to be stable with some limited downside that's going to be affected mostly by government programs affecting liquidity available in the market. There's been in the last 12 months some liquidity shocks that have affected short-term demand in the market, and as a result of which demand is being rather volatile, but presenting an overall 24% reduction in terms of volumes. Most of this has been offset by price increases associated with high levels of inflation present in Venezuela, which allow compensation of the volume reduction by increasing prices. Moving to the third section of the presentation, which is an update on the execution of our business strategy, which is presented on page 8. We have defined four areas that are the focus of our strategy. The first one, the first one of which is strengthening with the crisis. In that regard, we continue to show sound liquidity standing and a solid financial profile, have been able to improve our investment in working capital as a result of successful efforts in the area of inventories, which is a tough area to manage in a crisis where we are having 20% reduction in volumes sold in the different markets. We've been able to maintain volume levels of inventories under control. And in addition, we've been able to maintain our collections at very sound levels, with receivables being at lower levels than 1 year before. The second area of focus is cost efficiency, where we incorporate there the strategic alliance that was entered into with Hancock Timber for fiber supply in Brazil, because one of the drivers for such alliance is precisely to get fiber supply in the long run at competitive costs. And in addition to that is the start of the execution of implementation phase of a project for significant savings on the supply strategy of main materials and services. This is going to provide significant savings over the next 6 quarters. In terms of productive efficiency, we started in this quarter the second shift at our Cabrero sawmill, which is a good sign that markets are recovering, and that will enable the company to get reduced production costs by dividing the fixed costs into a larger production, and that's going to improve profitability significantly. We've been able to develop new markets in Europe, Eastern Europe, and Asia, and the Middle East that are justifying this increase in production, which is a very good sign of recovery of some export markets for wood. Second there is that we are on schedule in terms of stepping up our production in the Montenegro plant. We've been able to meet our goals there, and are going to be able to place approximately 90,000 cubic meter in the Brazilian market in the second semester of the year, and this is expected to more than triple in 2010, which is going to provide for additional margin contribution to the company. In terms of the main metrics that measure this cost efficiency process is that average prices have rose by 3.1% in the quarter compared to the prior year, while average costs were down by 8.9% in the same period. The third focal point is to secure profitable clients, and that's all the results of all of our commercial efforts and marketing efforts in the market, which is regarded as one of Macisa's unique characteristics and business strategies, which is being recognized in the different markets as the company that is closer and services best the clients of this industry. In that regard, some of the efforts that have been carried on is that we've been able to complete more than 6,200 carpenters have been trained up to date this year, with a goal to reach approximately 8,000 carpenters. Those are trained with support from our Placacentro network, which today reaches 336 stores in the region, which is an increase compared to the 329 of the prior year. We have been able to strengthen our franchise scheme of managing that network to levels of 76% of the network is already under a franchise scheme. We continue to grow the importance of the Placacentro network within the context of the regional markets for wood boards, which now represent 31% of total wood board sales in the region. Also, in terms of product mix and additional margin contribution, we have continued to increase the importance of the coated products with melamines that we're selling. 45% of our total wood board sales are presently coated with melamines. In terms of within the melamines, 45% up from 40% the prior year are design melamines, which are higher value added with natural designs or artificial designs, some even with texture that you can feel and touch, that represent a higher margin opportunities for Masisa. The fourth element of our business strategy is innovation, where we have launched new designs and textures this year in the different markets, and are increasing the number of new products that are launched to the market year on year. In addition to that, the start and startup of operations of a new melamine line in MDP, that's combined with the MDP line in Montenegro, which took place last September, and it's in its scheduled ramping up process to be able to market higher value products in the local market in Brazil. Finally, moving to the fourth section, particularly in page 10. First, I'd like to refer to the sales evolution. As seen in the graph in the upper left corner, there's been a 6% increase compared to the second quarter of 2009, and that represents a 16% compared to the first quarter of 2009. So that is an evidence of the recovery of the markets where we operate. Now, compared to the prior year, it is a 22% reduction that is mostly associated with volume reduction of approximately 20%. These sales have been affected, as presented in the graph below, by the devaluation of the Latin American currencies, which hit most significantly in the second quarter last year and the first quarter of this year, and it's gradually recovering following the recent strengthening trend that we've observed in the different markets. But still, compared to the third quarter of the prior year, many of our currencies are still showing 20% to 30% devaluation levels. Those include the Argentinian peso, the Brazilian real, and the Mexican peso. So those were hit, but the recent trend is, in a way, softening the impact and is helping the sales evolution. Now, in terms of prices, even with these effects of the devaluation of the money, as a result of improvement of product mix to higher value products and also selective price increases in a few markets. Regarding breakdown of the different breakdown of sales of the different product families, on page 11. It is observed there that our main products, MDF and particle board, are down significantly compared to the prior year. Particle board, 19% in dollar terms and 21% in physical terms, and in the part of MDF, 16% in dollar terms and 18% in volumes. Those represent the vast majority of our sales and the core business of the company, and are putting a lot of pressure on the company in terms of profitability. The other product families, Sonwood, MDF molding, solid wood doors, with the exception only of saw logs, have also presented significant reductions. And those were products that are oriented to offshore markets and are heavily concentrated to the U.S., especially the case of MDF moldings and solid wood doors. Although Masisa has been diversifying markets by reaching different clients in other geographies, the reduction of the construction activity in the U.S., which has been very significant, as well known, has affected sales and has affected sales by between 40% and 50% in those cases. Important to highlight the improvement in the saw logs, which is an evidence that our forestry business is not directly correlated with the behavior of the economies where we operate, and provides for an improvement even under this year of crisis. And that represents the fact that the value of our forestry assets generally don't change according to short-term volatility in the different markets. In the other products grouping, we're including products that are either minor or that we have discontinued in our operations, such as OSB and finger joint moldings, which present an $11 million drop. Moving on to page 12, all of those effects of reduced sales have been offset in terms of margins, and specifically when referring to EBITDA and EBITDA margin, Masisa has been able to more than offset the effect of the sale reduction by being very strict in cost efficiencies, in being very very strict also in terms of SG&A control. Most of this benefit has been achieved as a result of having discontinued operations on lower performing businesses, such as the finger joint molding production, which we had in Chile and Brazil, and the improvement of operational efficiency associated with footprint optimization in terms of maintaining production on the most efficient, most modern plants rather than the older ones that are higher cost production. And also programs to achieve and take full benefit of the reduction of prices of our main raw materials. We've also concentrated significant efforts in reducing SG&A expenses as a result of the initiatives that have included corporate restructuring at the corporate office and also at the operations, and also significant cost-saving programs at all levels. In addition to that, we've concentrated in improving our product mix, as shown in the strategy section, which have allowed the company to maximize and protect and offset margin erosion associated with reduction of sales. I've been able to work along with strategic customers in maintaining volume of higher value products and securing decent margins for all of our operations. The graph in this page presents the significant recovery the company has been able to present, which is leaving behind the fourth quarter of 2008 and the first quarter of 2009, which were very, very stringent quarters. Moving on to page 14, where we present a comparison of our a summarized income statement. The first point to note there is a reduction in sales of 22%. However, the cost decrease is mainly due to lower raw materials costs, almost offset all of the sale decrease, and even allow an increase in gross margin when measured as a percentage of sales, which increases from 23.4% to 27.1% year-on-year. On SG&A, there is a 22% reduction equal to the reduction in sales, and that helps the company achieve an increase and improvement in operating income overall year-on-year by 6.7%. On the non-operating section, there's some improvement in foreign exchange differences associated with the movement of the different currencies in the region, and some increase in financial expenses associated with debt costs, which have been, in terms of the debt amount, has been quite stable from prior year, but there's been some additional financial costs. In the other non-operating line, there's a significant deviation from prior year, and that's associated with one-off restructuring costs in Chile associated with plant shutdowns that we referred to before, and financial losses related to financial transactions in Venezuela that were needed to pay for external suppliers. External suppliers in Venezuela include paper suppliers, spare parts for machinery and equipment in general. Those are the most important elements that we import in Venezuela. In the tax line, there's also a deviation. In this case, the most important element is composed of accrued taxes in Brazil that are associated with foreign exchange effects on intercompany long-term debt denominated in dollars. Intercompany long-term debt denominated in dollars gets eliminated in the consolidation process. However, for tax purposes in Brazil, given that intercompany debt, which is partly directly, partly indirectly, affects the results locally, it generates some tax effects that are accrued. Not paid in cash, because we in Brazil are subject to a cash regime on this type of tax events. In that regard, the appreciation of the real that we have been observing in the last few months has been generating taxable gains on this intercompany loan that generate the accrual of certain taxes. Such taxes have not ever been paid because of this cash regime that we've chosen to follow in Brazil. Given that this debt is intercompany debt, the company can reasonably manage the maturity and have it postponed indefinitely if needed to avoid the payment of such taxes. However, such taxes need to be registered in our books and such that they are in the third quarter of this year. These losses offset certain operating gains that we have, and in that regard operate as a hedge to our existing operations in Brazil, where we operate basically in real terms for sales and for most of our costs. So we have a positive exposure to the real in the business and a negative exposure to the real in this type of intercompany facilities. The effects are compensated over a period of approximately 12 months, meaning that given any real appreciation, there's a one-off impact in the books, which is not cash, but over a period of 12 months that gets fully compensated in terms of cash generated, which is presented as higher EBITDA in the case of Brazil. All said, our EBITDA improved by 6% in the quarter, first time since the crisis hit the markets, and we expect that this trend will continue given the very low EBITDA generation observed in the fourth quarter of 2008 and the first quarter of 2009, and that will definitely allow the company to present much better comparative figures in the following two quarters. Moving on to page 13, now more related to the financial condition of the company, there's a graph presenting debt amortization structure, which presents $22 million left maturing this year, $81 million expiring maturing in 2010, and $224 million in 2011. Cash in hand by the close of September was $149 million, which covers all of our refinancing needs up to the first quarter of 2011 included. Therefore, the company will be working under a refinancing effort partly next year to anticipate some of the refinancing efforts that are needed in 2011 and another part in 2011. By then, the company will have recovered completely from the crisis in terms of EBITDA generation and also its leverage indicators. Therefore, we are confident that the company will be able to refinance all of this debt without trouble. On page number 15, this covers financial ratios. We are presenting first a net debt reduction compared to the close of 2008 and the close of 2007, with net debt reaching $557 million. That reduction is as a result of all of our financial strengthening program that was carried on between October of last year and April of this year, which included a capital increase above $100 million and also the sale of certain non-core assets in Brazil, plus refinancing of significant portions of debt. Cash and equivalents reached $149 million. I already described that. Then, on working capital, also mentioned the effectiveness of our strategies to maintain both inventories and receivables under control, which have allowed the company to free up some resources in terms of working capital instead of the normally expected increase in a crisis that it would have. In terms of financial ratios, total liabilities to total equity reached 0.72, an improvement from the close of last year, which was 0.77. Finally, on the right, on the bottom, financial ratios such as net debt to EBITDA and EBITDA to net financial expenses are still showing some deterioration. However, the numbers, I believe this graph is not being updated in the presentation. The number, and I apologize for that, I just realized the number in September for net debt to EBITDA is 4.11 instead of a 3.93, I believe. That's the number. We'll just confirm that in a minute. However, the message behind this is associated with the EBITDA decrease. There's been some hit here, although we've been able to reduce our debt. However, the worst period of time where this index was calculated is June, when we started to produce higher EBITDA than prior year, and this is going to be significantly improved in the following two quarters. Now, confirming the figures, again, I apologize for the typo here. The correct numbers are present in the graph. The only mistake is the reference to June, where it should be September. So it's 3.93 the close of September, and interest coverage was 3.35. Now, again, this is going to improve dramatically as we surpass the EBITDA levels of the next two quarters as we expect. With this, I finalize our presentation and would like now to open up for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touch-tone phone. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, press star followed by two. Please press star one to begin. Once again, if you have any questions or comments, please press star one. And at this moment, I'm showing you have no questions in queue. Once again, for any questions or comments, please press star one. And at this moment, we have no questions. I'd like to hand the call over to management for closing remarks.
We would like to thank everyone for your participation in this earnings call. Once again, I would like to emphasize the fact that this is the first quarter where we are showing an improvement in our EBITDA levels and operating margins and EBITDA margins as a result of all of the efforts that have been dramatic in the company in terms of maintaining costs under control and also SG&A, which is preparing the company to take full benefit of the recovery when demand recovers and comes back. We're still observing significant volume reduction compared to the levels prior to the crisis, but when the volumes come back, the company will be prepared to take full benefit of that and increase profitability significantly. So thanks again for your participation. I'd like to offer the contact point of our investor relations team. If you have any further questions or would like to have additional detail on some of these explanations, we'll be happy to answer any of those potential inquiries. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you for your participation in today's conference. This concludes your presentation. You may now disconnect. Have a great day.